If you focus on the consequences of getting things done, you'll find you're a lot more productive and have a lot better results.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with Joey Young. Joseph Young. Well, what do you prefer? I didn't even ask you beforehand. I just call you Joey.
Joey's the best, man. That's what my parents called me. It's what I keep asking people to call me. It's so bad, though. I have to say Joe at Starbucks and all the other places they ask for my name, because inevitably I get the J-O-I, J-O-E, what is it? I'm just like, just call me Joe. Like, so yeah, it's Joey.
That's a hardship, man. I didn't know people couldn't spell Joey. That's embarrassing for that person, in my opinion. So yeah, you are the owner, obviously, of Joey Young Solutions, and you're a personal development leadership coach for millennials, I think I read. I'm a millennial, and I have a million questions for you, but to get started, you know, tell us exactly what you do at Joey Young Solutions.
Sure. Yeah, I call myself a professional results coach because that's what I love helping people achieve. You know, my promise is that I'll help you double your output in 30 days without working more hours. That's my promise to anyone who goes through my program. And the way I do this is by focusing on what's important and helping people to cut out what is unimportant. This is the core framework. And for most people, what that does is it helps them to feel lighter and to feel freer, really, to be able to work on the things that matter most and cut out the things that are just kind of the fluff that fill our lives. For example, the classic one is email. A lot of people focus too much on being very accessible from that particular medium, and it cuts into their results. And just by tweaking little things, I find that I can help people in a massive way to get results in the areas in which they are passionate about. For a lot of people, it's businesses. They want to grow their business. For some people, it's in higher ed. They want to get better grades. They want to be more efficient in their schoolwork. And the beautiful thing is we can help these people with any of these things because the principles of higher performance are transferable to almost any endeavor, any daily toil.
Absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're an athlete, educator, business owner. So I personally, I'm a business owner and I'm a millennial. So I'm right in that, you know, realm. And one thing I've experienced as a millennial is I often personally have imposter syndrome. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if it's just me, but I see people on Instagram. I see the cars they drive and the things they do. And I realize that's not a realistic, you know, explanation of their life on a day to day. They don't just drive their car 24/7, but I see all these successful people. And I don't know if it's just me, but I start to get a little bit of success and I almost feel like I don't match up. Like I'm not at this person's level. Have you ran into that? People like me, maybe having imposter syndrome or comparing themselves to others. What would I do to change that? I think a lot of us have that issue.
Oh man, this is so great. Cause I was just talking about this with a guy, a friend of mine who was a client. He lives in Australia actually. And is starting a business to help other businesses build their websites. And we were chatting about this cause he was curious about how I had become a coach and how I had transitioned from my previous role. And I'll just touch on that real quickly, cause I think it's very relevant. Last year in the midst of the global pandemic, I was very frustrated with my business. I was not getting the results I wanted. I was kind of at that point where I was looking around, like you were talking about, and seeing other people getting the results like all around me and feeling not only like frustrated that I wasn't getting those results, but also confused because I was like, why am I not achieving what I want to achieve here? I don't even know what I don't know. And I remember specifically just one night sitting at my laptop feeling so behind on my dreams, so frustrated, I didn't know what path to take. I made a commitment at that point to learn what I needed to know to get ahead, to be the become the person that I would be proud of becoming and being. And what that launched me on was a learning journey to figure out what these people I admired, who these people I admired, what they were doing. And throughout this last year, I started reading a book a week. I got my life coach certification, and I've been able to help professionals, like I said, solopreneurs, professionals, PhD level students, to achieve the real results in their life. And not only have I doubled my income, but I have helped people to get real results in the way that they find meaningful, which has been the best part for me as a coach, to step into this role to help others achieve the things that they want to achieve. So I get the imposter syndrome, because the question that this gentleman from Australia asked me, that I was talking about, that question he asked me is, Joey, like, how do you call yourself a coach? You only started doing this 6 months ago. And I told him, man, you know how I started? I typed in a website, Joey Young, comma, coach. And he's like, what? And I'm like, dude, you have to have the confidence to risk your credibility. At some point, you need to say, this is who I am, and this is what I want to accomplish with my life. And maybe I don't have all the experience that other people have. Maybe I don't have all the same results as far as income and accolades, but you need to have the courage to start. And that's what I told him. And I think that that's really the key for 99% of us. The one thing that's holding us back is that we're afraid of being of starting small, and of looking foolish in front of people who really don't have the credentials to judge whether or not we're successful or not. That's something that we should decide for ourselves. But we feel like we need to be successful from the start, so we don't start. We feel like we don't have the results that others have, so we're somehow less than. But we are, you know, we're comparing our journeys to their, you know, end of their journeys, right? So it's not even a fair comparison. They've been doing it a lot longer. They had different opportunities. They've been working for more years on the same things we're trying to do. And we can't compare ourselves to them. We got to compare ourselves to ourselves a year ago, right? And hopefully that'll give us the courage to just feel competent and exactly where we need to be.
I love that, Joey. I mean, don't be afraid to start, and ultimately be yourself is kind of what I'm hearing. There's only one Joey Young coach. So there's only one Balbert Marketing, and overnight, I'm not going to be Tony Robbins or Grant Cardone or the president. It's not going to happen, but I'm still me, and we all have something different we can offer that is unique to us. And I was impressed. You said a moment ago you've been reading a book a week. That's unbelievable. I try, but I don't read quick enough. I'm trying to learn how to speed read. But my question is, okay, so I want to start, and I want to start doing more. Is there a certain book, a certain podcast? Obviously, reaching out to you, I'm sure you can help people out real well. But any taking off points, any books you'd recommend for, you know, a beginner?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give one tip and then one recommendation. So the tip would be, and this is something I ran into for 90% of the people I work with, the concept is completion versus consequences. And a lot of people, when they're starting out any endeavor like a business, they focus on the completion aspect of the process instead of the consequences. And so what I tell people is, if you're someone who has a bunch of false starts, if you're not getting the traction you want to get in your professional career or in your business, it's probably because you're focused on crossing things off the to-do list. You're focused on completing the things you think you need to get done. When instead, if you focus on the consequences of getting things done, you'll find you're a lot more productive and have a lot better results. So I've got a client who loves writing down 25 things a day to do, and loves crossing them off one by one. And by the end of the day, she feels awesome because she has a little cute to-do list, right? And it's all crossed off. That's awesome. That's not productivity. That's dopamine hits, which is fun. But if you want real traction and you don't know where to start, stop focusing on getting things done and start focusing on how you can work on the most important things. If you can ask yourself at the beginning of each day, what's the one mission critical thing I need to do today that would benefit me most if I got done, or it would be the worst if I didn't get it done, what would that one thing be? And that focus on the consequences of doing something or not is actually the key to getting things done that are important that actually get you traction. So I'd recommend people focus on more important tasks. And the way you know it's important is because of the benefits it gives you if you get it done, or the negative consequences that will occur if you don't get it done. And that's how we prioritize. That's how we actually get traction in our businesses. For example, a lot of people, when they're starting out, they focus on learning because they want, you know, the imposter syndrome, which everyone has. And I'm no exception to this. I absolutely love watching training videos and YouTube videos and podcasts. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But what we can do is we can, you know, have something we need to create as a to-do for the day. Like, I need to create a video to help me to launch my business. And then we can have a video that we want to watch that day as well, because we enjoy watching videos and learning. And sometimes we can prioritize the consumption of things over the creation of our own things, which feels good because we're learning, quote unquote, but we're not actually doing what we need to actually do to move our business forward.
The term I like to use is infotainment.
Yeah, exactly.
But go on, ultimately taking action on it.
Yes. Yeah, so we need to, and again, this relates back to the imposter syndrome thing, because if we can admit to ourselves that we're not the best, because we're not, you know, I'm not Tony Robbins, I'm not Grant Cardone, you know, I'm not Gandhi. Like, I don't have all the answers. I don't have it all together. But you know what? Someone can be helped by what I'm doing. So I'm going to create that video instead of watching that video, because I know I can help somebody else. So that's my tip. The tip is to focus on the consequences of a task instead of completing all the tasks on your to-do list. Prioritize over completion. And then the recommendation, actually, there's a really good book called The $100 Startup by Chris something. And I can't say his last name.
Oh, I forgot my pen. I'm gonna have to click rewind. Anyone listening, make sure you're writing this down. I forgot my pen. Grab your pen right now. Go on, Joey.
Yes, it's The $100 Startup. You can just Google it. It's on Amazon. Fantastic book. And the reason I recommend this particular book is because I've read a lot of marketing books. I've read a lot of personal development books. I've read a lot of general business books. What this one does is it helps you to understand the basics of what it is to start a business super lean and to prioritize the things that need to get prioritized first. Because a lot of people are stuck in the sort of phase of like, you know what, I like helping people do this, but I don't know how to market that, or I don't know how to put that into a product or an offer. I don't know my value proposition. And what the book does, it really guides you through the specifics of developing that core sort of MVP, minimum viable product. And I find that very useful for a lot of people who are on the entrepreneur journey specifically. Like I said, that's not everyone I work with, but it's one of the most useful books I've found. I would recommend it to anyone thinking of doing a side hustle or starting a business.
No, that sounds incredibly useful, because from my experience, some of the most talented business people I've ever met, I've never met someone so good at what they do. But when it comes to describing what they do and their mission and their vision and the higher level stuff, that's where a lot of people struggle. So if I'm a good business owner, but someone asks me what my why is or my vision statement or something like that, is that addressed in the book, or am I a little bit off card here?
So it helps you to, in that book specifically, it helps if you have a passion and you want to start a passion-based business, it's a good tool to distill that passion into a business, into an actual product, which is not for everybody. I mean, if you don't want to monetize your habit that you just love doing, then great, go ahead and do it. But as far as I think what you're getting at and clarifying your marketing, yes, it is extremely helpful for that, because I feel like a lot of books kind of go on and on about how to create a pitch and how to do a sales video, you know, sort of the Russell Brunson sort of like ClickFunnels type stuff. It's really in depth with that and way too much information for a beginner. This book is just really good at taking you from where you are now to having that minimum viable product and getting income as soon as possible, which is the point of a business. I feel like a lot of people feel bad about asking for money in the beginning, or they feel like they, you know, don't know how to, they don't feel confident in offering a product or something until they feel like it's perfect, and that holds them back. And it's a business. You got to make money. You prioritize that, and you know, the rest of the things fall into place. If you don't want to be a business owner, don't be a business owner. You don't have to. That's fine. You know, it's not for everybody. But if you want to be a business owner, you got to make money, and you got to be able to offer people a specific solution to their pain point. And I love helping people through that sort of process, but I also recommend that book. $100 Startup for sure.
That does kind of go back to imposter syndrome, like not charging enough or not valuing your time high enough. I mean, if you're a business person and you provide more value than the money you're taking in, you're leaving people better than when they worked with you. I mean, if you can provide more value than the money you're taking in, that's what a business is at the core. That's what a good business is, in my opinion. And yeah, there's a lot of people struggle charging enough, or they have a passion, but they don't know how to monetize it. It can be difficult. I know you have plenty of information online and it continues to grow. Where do people show up and ultimately get coaching or feedback or watch videos or anything? Like, how do we get to know Joey better? Where should we go?
Yeah, man. Well, the easiest place to start would be my website, joeyhyoung.com. I also post weekly on my YouTube channel, which is, if you just search Joey Young on YouTube, it should pop up. That's how you can kind of connect with me there. I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, get started with the free stuff. I got, you know, like I said, a YouTube video a week I put out there just to help people with what I know and hopefully improve their life and leadership or results or business or personal development. If you go to my website, joeyhyoung.com, you can actually right in the, at the top of the homepage, there's a place you can put in your email, and I'll email you a free online course I developed on my proprietary system called the Goal Execution Formula. That's a really good place to start too, because it's just a free video series for anyone who's looking to achieve a big goal or a big dream. And I give you like a workbook and videos to kind of implement that into your life as well. I'm actually teaching a class at the Rochester Brainery coming up in June here of 2021, on the Goal Execution Formula, to go a little bit more in depth and a little more interactive with it as well, which I'm excited about. But that's the place I would start and to kind of get to know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's exciting. I love the Brainery. I'm going to have to take that class. Let me ask you about goals. We'll do like a 5-minute version of what's an hour presentation. Obviously, I recommend people check out the Brainery class, but I'm wondering, because we were talking about not whiteboards, that came to my head though, but lists of things to do for the day. And every morning I have my whiteboard and I write down my list of, I call them non-negotiables. You know, it's the stuff that I'm going to get done today. But a lot of them, I'll be honest with you, Joey, they aren't non-negotiable. They're things that could have a 72-hour window. It's just I want to be proactive and get it done today. And I find personally I like to set a lot of small-term goals, really short-term goals. But at the same time, it's like going to the gym and working out, but just working out without a leg day, upper body day, without a plan or an execution. A lot of my goals are let's win today with a lot of small goals, but I have trouble figuring out where they're leading long term. And I have the confidence that if I'm winning every single day, long term, I'm still going to do great. But I'm wondering, am I missing something? Is there a better way to structure my long-term goals? I feel like the short-term goals are a positive thing for me, but should I have better direction on the short term? Should I be looking more long-term? How do I properly execute? Am I off? Am I close? What's going on?
Well, man, I mean, you're definitely one thing I'll say about you that I respect about you is you're a hustler. You know, you're always working to build your business. I know you got a great work ethic, and I don't have any doubts about your success because I have a lot of respect for what you're doing with Ball Bird Marketing. And I think that you're the kind of guy with no matter what specific approach you have, you'll figure it out. What I have found is
Joey. I'll figure it out, but it'll take me 70 hours a week to do it.
Listen, that's a lifestyle choice that some people choose to make, and I would not make that for them. But one way I know to do it less than 70 hours a week, if that's your goal, is so what I outline in the goal execution formula, which is by the way, the way that I have achieved my long-term goals as well, is it's essentially chunking it up. And chunking it up sounds so simple, but it's so hard when we're talking about our own goals and dreams because we find it hard to take the big overall long-term output, the long-term vision we have, and to actually create to-dos for it. And the way we do that is we take the clarity, which is step one of the goal execution formula, and then we roll it through step two, which is commitment, which I don't have time to get into today, but it's essentially ensuring that you're the type of person who will achieve that goal, which is the big step that most people skip when they're trying to achieve goals, is ensuring they're the type of person who does with that identity shift. Number three is the strategy. And the strategy takes that clarity and it makes it workable, because the way that I've found most people's long-term dreams and visions for their life break down is the 6 month to today time frame. They don't know how to take a dream or a vision or a goal that they want to achieve, and they don't know how to do things that are actually going to move the needle on that project on a daily basis. So what I've done is in the workbook is monthly and weekly worksheets, which allow you to fill in the specifics of what is non-negotiable in that particular time frame to move that project forward. And what I found for myself, and you can actually see literally if you're watching this on the walls here, I have printed out these pieces of paper for myself to be very hyper-focused on what specific outcomes need to happen in a week. And then I'll start my week by sitting down and looking at, okay, if this is the outcome for the week, what blocks of time do I need to schedule on which days to make sure that this outcome is achieved? And doing that, honestly, breaks down any goal into something extremely, extremely manageable. And what I've found is that it actually creates the results on a daily basis that can tie into monthly and quarterly and our annual goals as well. So it's not like some super complex, like hard to understand method, but the discipline of sitting down and chunking up that big plan, that vision into monthly and weekly increments, that's just what makes it happen, quite frankly.
Now, I love this. And just imagine I'm this way sometimes, and I'm sure listeners are as well. I've got the discipline. I've got the work ethic. But if you drive 40 miles in the wrong direction, you just drove in the wrong direction. So how do I figure out what I actually want? Like, how do I determine that goal in the first place? How do I know what to look for, what to work for?
Well, that's a loaded question there, yeah. Ben. But one thing I always direct people towards is my strong emotions exercise. So what some people have done, which is very helpful to them, but a lot of aren't aware of, is the idea that we're all driven at a core level by certain motivating emotions. And these emotions are to care for a specific group of people, to solve a specific problem, to right a certain wrong or injustice, or to fix ourselves in a certain way. And with the strong emotion exercise, I take people through the steps to answer the questions of what are those things that you really truly care about? Because if we can figure out what those internal clocks are ticking for, what really at the core of us is what is important to us, we can have clarity. And real clarity only comes after being really real. And you need to tap into those strong emotions to be very real with yourself and know what your next step is. And I would say that is one of the biggest factors that crushes new businesses and new ventures and people's, you know, careers is they think they care about something, but they don't. Mm. And so that's why the strong emotions exercise is really important to establish that long-term goal and make sure it's connected to something that's really important to you on the inside.
I love this. I'm obviously going to be following up with your materials online. I like asking these questions. I feel like if we dig too deep, we'll lose people. So let's get a little lighthearted and just talk about Rochester for a minute here, because I know personally I'm born and raised Rochester. The show's called Rochester Business Connections. I talk about it all the time. Obvious. I love Rochester. I'm curious, you know, are you from Rochester? And tell me a little bit about your loves or even hates about the Western New York region.
Oh, awesome, man. Well, I'm happy to talk about Rochester because I do indeed love Rochester. I've lived in Rochester all my life, except for a 3.5-year stint in Sydney, Australia, where I went to college and traveled around the world for a bit. I've lived here and I've loved it. And I came back to it.
Let's slow down. So Sydney, Australia for 3.5 years?
Yeah, from when I was 20 to 24 years old, I lived in Sydney. I went to leadership college over there and just loved it. I mean, it was a great time. I needed to spread my wings and find my voice, and that's what I did. But I chose to come back to Rochester because of family and because of the area. So I would say that I absolutely adore everything about the city especially in terms of the weather. Like, I feel like a lot of people dislike the Rochester winters, but man, I have experienced temperate weather year round in Sydney, Australia, where it's just like warm or hot all year round. I missed the falls, man. Oh, like, I love Rochester falls. And then spring, with the flowers here. I live right near Highland Park now, and I just love the spring. Summers aren't too hot. I mean, they don't melt your face like they do in Sydney, where I lived. So I'm all about this place. And of course, my family is here, and you know, my parents, and you know, have lived here for most of my life. And me and my wife now have you know, a place here in Rochester. So I have no plans of leaving anytime soon.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, we have all four seasons. You know, if you think about the four seasons, we have all of them without any natural disasters. I'm curious because Sydney, Australia, we're talking like a 20-mile plane ride or something crazy like that. You're very far away, very far away from Rochester. Have you ever done like a comparative analysis? Like, what is amazing about Australia? What's amazing about Rochester? Is there overlap? Is there a lot of cultural differences? I don't know if you've done this before, man, but I'm thinking like a chart. I'm thinking of one of those charts with like a comparative analysis of the two, you know?
I would say the biggest differences in terms of the people is Australians are so laid back.
Yeah.
Like, it was so nice to talk to a true Aussie and just experience the lack of worry that is that person's experience of life. So incredible. I think that one of the beautiful things about Sydney was it actually introduced me to great coffee. And I know there's good coffee in Rochester, but no one does coffee like the Aussies. Like, they have just, I mean, every single street corner in the city of Sydney has a unique, boutique, beautiful, great quality coffee shop that I just love. I think Sydney is one of those places where it was absolutely perfect for what I needed it to be at the time, which was a place to live, to grow, to find my voice, to find myself, and to travel from. Oh, man, you can make bank in Sydney. So when I was in college, just to give you an idea, I worked a retail job, entry-level retail. I started at $24 an hour and just started traveling the world with that money. I worked part-time, paid my way through college, no student loans, and I traveled the world, Europe and China, Hawaii, you know, everywhere, just from the money I made from that part-time job. So yeah, it was a good time.
Oh, all better reason to follow up with you. Got millions of stories, I can imagine. A love of travel. Have you always been, do you see yourself as someone who just loves experiences, traveling, things like that? Like,
oh my gosh.
You always like that, or did something bring you along? I was the quiet kid, so it's something that I didn't come to appreciate later in life. It seems like you have a knack for it.
Well, I'd be curious to hear about your travel adventures, but a perfect illustration of my love of adventure is the layover I had in Shanghai. I was traveling back from Sydney to Rochester to see my family one Christmas, and I had about 12 hours in Shanghai, a long layover, and I thought I'd make the most of it. So I checked my check bags into this like rental place, and took a train to downtown Shanghai. This is about 9 p.m. And then my flight left at about 8 a.m. So I thought I'd just, you know, make a good night of it. And, you know, trying to figure out what I would do that night, walking around the streets, I saw, you know, different street vendors, which was cool. But then as I was walking by this sort of cluster of buildings, I noticed this one gentleman, young 30s, wearing a suit, you know, looked like he was, you know, was on top of his life, you know, doing his whole, like, you know, watching, looking around kind of thing. And I was wondering what he was doing. And then he saw me. He's like, oh, my, hello, hello. And I walked up to him. I was like, hey, man, what's up? Turns out I didn't speak a lick of English, but he grabbed another friend of his who did. And, you know, I have no idea what's going on, but he's like grabbing friends. And then this one guy comes over and he's like, hi, would you like to come with us? And I didn't know what was going on at that point, but I was like, you know what? I'm in freaking Shanghai for one night. It's 1 a.m. Like, I'm just going to do something fun. So I'm like, sure, you know, come with these guys, see what happens. There's like five of them around me at that point, all wearing like these like nice suits. And so they take me into this elevator in one of the buildings, and I go on up and the elevator with all these suits. And I'm like, well, this is either it or I'm going to have the time of my life, but there's going to be no in between. Wow. And so I walk down this hallway and I start hearing this thumping music. Still no idea what's going on. I turn the corner and there's this nightclub and there's Pikachus and there's noodles, pool noodles, and there's people dancing and lights flashing. And I'm just like, what is going on over here? And then people started, you know, of course they started, you know, trying to just hand me drinks and stuff like that. And I just spent about an hour hanging out there at about 1 a.m. in Shanghai, and was the greatest time ever. Never spoke to anyone there for more than about three words in English, but it was a good time. Yeah. And I just, you know, those sorts of things just make me, make you really happy. So yes, I love adventure. And I would definitely look forward to traveling again in the future. But, what about you, man? What would you say would your, you said you enjoy traveling as well. I'm curious to hear some of your stories.
I don't have any stories like that. I'm late to the travel game. So I've been basically traveling North America recently, trying to hit all the states in Northeast a couple times. Then I'm going down to Myrtle Beach, in a couple weeks. This will come out after that, but really staying in the Northeast, doing a lot of hiking, Adirondack Mountains, that kind of stuff. Cause I really have that travel bug that once things open up and there's security that I can comfortably travel, you know, I'm late to the game just now in my life. Like I want to go to Amsterdam. I want to go to New Zealand. But I don't have the stories yet. So we're going to have to keep in touch so I can tell a couple good ones. Cause from what I heard, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, one of two things happens. You either go to sleep or somehow magic happens. That's what everyone tells me. The magic happens after hours when you least expect it, you know?
That's awesome. Well, dude, you know, I look forward to catching up again because I do want to hear your stories. And I would say, I mean, I don't know how old you are, man. You look young though. And I might say, if I dare say, your best days are ahead of you for sure. I'm sure you're going to have a great time. And I just can't wait to hear about your adventures, and especially New Zealand, man. That's probably my favorite place in the world, to be honest.
Yeah.
It sounds like you you enjoy the outdoors, so that's going to be perfect. And man, I really hope you enjoy that country, because it's just beautiful, and the people are awesome there too. My gosh, so nice. I was on the highway of New Zealand once in a little rental car, and I literally pulled over for 30 seconds. And wouldn't you know, the first car that found me, the first car that was driving by, I pulled over. The guy runs out of the car. He's like, "Are you okay, man? Do you need anything?" I'm like, "Dude, I'm just checking the maps, man. I'm fine, but thank you." And he's like, "Do you need some gas?" I was like, "Well, I guess I could just go." He's like, "There's a gas station." Then he starts to go off and like tell me the direction to the nearest gas station. I was like, "Dude, this is insane." Wow. But the nicest people over there. And I hope you get to travel there soon once things open up a bit.
Let me ask you, while we're on, you know, an adventurous topic, if you could sit down and have, you know, coffee or tea with anybody, live or dead, let's say at a round table of, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, I guess at least 3 people, who would you want to sit down and have a drink with?
Well, one of my heroes is Brendan Burchard. He's definitely one of the guys I respect the most right now. He is a coach, a high performance coach, who I believe runs his business and his life from a place of his heart and really cares about people. So I respect him because of that and because of the business he's built. Another one of heroes of mine is John Maxwell. John Maxwell, Brian Houston, two incredible leaders that I've had so much respect for. Anyone who can lead for decades and remain in their integrity and build incredible organizations, I have massive respect for. Tony Robbins, would love to meet that man, of course, as well. I just have such respect for him and what he's been able to accomplish. It's a good question. I think what I value is people who are able to talk the talk and walk the walk. Integrity is a high value for me. So I want to hang around people like that, for sure.
Yeah, people that have accomplished what I'm looking to accomplish. And it's not that, again, imposter syndrome. It's not that I haven't gotten there. It's not that I won't get there, just that I haven't got there yet. And to be able to sit down with someone like a Tony Robbins, who's been doing this at a highly ethical, high integrity level for 30 years, that's an experience I definitely cherish. I'm with you.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's, you know, they say don't meet your heroes. But I guess I haven't met enough of my heroes to not want to meet the rest yet. So what about you, man? What's the round table look like for yourself?
You know, I've asked this question. I've never thought about the answer. I guess since we're on it, I'd put Tony Robbins in there. I'd want Michael Jordan there.
Hmm.
Resilience, winning, determination, first one in, last one out. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant are kind of a combo platter on that one. I'd gladly sit down with either of them. I'd kind of want Gandhi at the table.
Hmm.
Gandhi would be a great person to have at the table, because you think of like a Tony Robbins or you think of a Kobe Bryant, these massively high achievers at, you know, physical level and, you know, business. And someone like Gandhi, I feel like you got to be asking the question, does this make me happy? Am I stepping on toes? Having Gandhi at my corner would probably help me stay humble, because I find with all the business people I look up with, there's little humbleness in a lot of them. They're the best in the world. They're the richest in the world. They have the beautiful lives and the beautiful wives. But to have Gandhi or a Jesus, someone sitting at the table to be like keeping me straight, I think would be massively beneficial to have on my team. Mother Teresa. Again, Gandhi, or so Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, Mother Teresa or Gandhi, kind of a yin of the yang in terms of their skill sets. And kind of wish I had thought this through. I asked the question. I don't know the answer to it. Let me try to think of one more. I think that's a good start, right?
I love that. I think you nailed a lot of good people.
One thing I want to add is, so I don't know if I would choose Tim Grover. I might, but Tim Grover was Kobe Bryant's coach. He was Dwayne Wade's coach. And I would want someone like Tim Grover, because for every Kobe Bryant, for every Tony Robbins, there's the coach that teaches them. Because these guys are already the highest achievers you can imagine, and the coach isn't their level in terms of skill set. But without the coach, they wouldn't have the ability to level up a little bit. So I want to talk to the hero, but I also want to talk to the guy who's coaching the hero, because they have something that, you know what I'm saying. You probably understand better than me as a coach.
Oh, well, it's not my job to do people's job or to know what they know. It's my job to help them get the results that they want to get. The PhD students that I'm coaching, they could spin circles around me if they, if they wanted to, as far as grades for sure. And the topics they specialize in, but there's a difference in specialty. The skill to help people get what they want is a skill in itself.
I love it. We're going to sake a time, move to the rapid fire round. This is one of my favorite parts, because easy, either or, fill in the blank questions just to get to know you a little bit better. Sound good?
Love it.
Awesome, man. How about coffee or tea?
That's a tough one. Coffee to start the day, tea to keep the caffeine levels down. So both.
Love it. Love it. What about cats or dogs?
Cats.
What about Android, iOS?
iOS for days.
Okay. That's a polarizing one, man. It's iOS users they're a passionate bunch.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm not bashing anyone, but for me, it's the superior ecosystem from what I've come to experience.
Are those AirPods you got in as well?
AirPod Pros, sir. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
and yeah, this is proof. I'm talking to you on my MacBook with my AirPods. I'm deep in the walled garden, man. So if you want me out, you got to throw a long rope.
This is a longer answer question, I suppose, but biggest struggle you're personally facing? I mean, you're obviously not perfect, but is there anything that you're still perfecting? Anything you're working on?
Dude, that's a great question. And without responding with a whole thesis or novel, I think as far as this last week and what I've been thinking about the most is actually my marriage. I only got married 6 months ago. I got married on September 26th of 2020. So it's been a journey to figure out how to live together, how to love each other in this environment, in the COVID environment, but also in just like two human beings bumping heads so much in a small space. So I think that's the biggest personal challenge I've had. And I say that Rebecca is the best thing that ever happened to me, very intentionally, because I believe it's true. I would not have been able to build this business if she wasn't right there next to me, watching me do the whole thing and encouraging me. So, struggle, but would highly recommend marriage.
Hey, it warms my heart to hear it. And I love that you're looking at it objectively, and everything's not always going to be perfect, but she helps lift you up and you together can be stronger together. I love that. What else? Give us one, because I want like 50 more, but give us at least one more. One final free tip for the audience at home.
One final tip is don't be a dabbler. When you're ready to take the plunge, you're going to have to invest. You're going to have to invest your time, your energy, and your money. But when you take that step, that's when the results come. That's when the joy in the process comes. The unhappiest people are the ones that leave all the doors open to all the opportunities. Don't be a dabbler.
Wow. Joey, we want to keep in touch. Tell us again, is there any social medias you frequent? The website? Can we call you? How do we schedule that appointment in case we missed it earlier? How do we keep in touch?
Oh, man. Well, the website, joeyhyoung.com, is where you can find me. joey@joeyhyoung.com is my email, which I check all the time. So shoot me an email. I love to chat with different individuals who love to chat about personal development or, you know, just want to make a good connection. So, and Ben, thank you for having me here and just talking about what I'm nerdy about. It's so much fun. I love what you're doing, and I look forward to staying in touch as well.
Yeah, you've been amazing. We're going to do a part two, guaranteed, because I have 500 questions I didn't get to ask. But till next time, appreciate it again.
Ben, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.